The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings. We are in between road games from Toronto to San Jose and delighted to be able to look back on the first road point of 2017. We will hear from the old and about the new. Omar Cummings joins us from Cincinnati. We also catch up with Porig Smith, the club's interim general manager, about the new signing out of Germany, Stefan Aigner. And Alan Gordon looks towards the trip to San Jose. But first, Richard Fleming, at last, a point on the road, a 1-1 draw at Toronto. Canadian fans weren't very nice on this night, were they, against the stereotype?
Yeah, and I'll touch upon that in my parting shot a little later.
Nice.
But look, the first half, you didn't think the Rapids were going to get anywhere near this Toronto side.
There's
they looked
no space.
Flat.
No space to
they
work with
flat.
Whatsoever.
They were sitting. They were sitting deep. They were almost They were inviting the trouble on, and I think it was one of those situations where a little bit of Toronto, but some of the Rapids are looking to soak up the pressure, looking to contain, and in doing that, they were kind of boxing themselves into a difficult situation. They rode out that first half storm. They pressed the reset button at halftime, and they came out second half, and it was a different team. And I think some of that, and Brian Crookham was on the TV call with me, they'd kind of stepped their lines up by 5 or 10 yards. In other words, they'd taken a forward step, making it tougher for Toronto to break them down. They were further advanced. They were able to break further up the field. And it was shown in that second half that the Rapids were very much part of that contest. They had some good chances. I mean, Ricketts had some good chances at the other end. He was rather wild with some of his attempts, and Zach McMath was equal to the task. But, you know, there was pressure at the other end, and that was kind of the big factor. You know, first half to second half, the Rapids offered nothing in the, I wouldn't even say final third, in the opposition half, there was little offered. And so it was an easy ride for Toronto first half. Yeah, they'll look back on that game and they'll kick themselves for not making hay in that first 45 minutes because it came back to haunt them. And I'll say, I'll touch more upon it in the parting shot, but were it not for the Rapids' fatigue, and I think there was an element of fatigue, bearing in mind they'd not played a competitive game for 18 days, were it not for the players kind of fading as the game wore on and it edged into stoppage time, I think it would have been a closer contest in terms of, you know, maybe the Rapids could have nicked it. As it were, they were you know, facing a lot of pressure in the closing stages. But they'll take that against a team that are still top of the Eastern Conference, could have extended their lead at the top, and not too many teams have gone there. Only three teams have picked up points at BMO Field out of 10 teams that have been there. So that was a big point, and hopefully they'll use it as something to kick on with these so many road games coming up.
So that is on the way up the mountain. More big news this week, the signing of German winger Stefan Aigner. Richard, what are we getting with Mr. Aigner?
This is a guy who has got bags of experience in one of the best leagues in the world, and one of the best products of the game. The German game is one of the best. Current world champions, of course, from 2014. Here's a guy who started in the regional leagues, came through the 1860 Munich Academy, then he went into the lower reaches before moving to Arminia Bielefeld. He had some time at 1860 Munich in the second division in the German Bundesliga 2. Then he went to Eintracht Frankfurt, who were in the Bundesliga, and spent 3 or 4 seasons there. And, you know, everything that brings, and people talk about the big teams in Germany, and, you know, we'll talk Bayern Munich, and we'll talk Borussia Dortmund, and Schalke have had their time over the years. Eintracht Frankfurt were a staple of the Bundesliga. So, of course, everything that brings with it. You're playing against some of the biggest names, not just in the German game, but of course, you know, with Bayern Munich, you've got some of the best players in the world. And here's a guy who, in fact, scored his last ever goal in the German Bundesliga with the penultimate goal, penultimate game of the 2015-2016 season, scored for Eintracht Frankfurt against Borussia Dortmund. And that was a Dortmund side that had Pulisic, came off the bench in that game. Some big name players for Dortmund, and you know, he's played against Bayern Munich many, many times, played in the Europa League, scored in fact against FC Porto. 29 years of age, he'll be 30 next month. He can play either as a 10, as an attacking option in that hole, or out wide. And look, he's wonderful technique. This is going to be a new venture for him, somebody who's played his entire career in Germany, the first ever German signing for the Rapids. And can you tell me the first ever German player to play in Major League Soccer?
First ever German player to play in Major League Soccer. Wow.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
It was with the Metro Stars in 2000, and his teammate was Tim Howard.
Teammate was Tim Howard. Oh.
German captain.
Oh,
Matthias. Lothar Matthias?
Yes.
Correct. You got there entirely on your own.
One of those where I see his face and I see him standing next to Tim Howard, but I couldn't remember the name.
And in fact, Eigner was at 1860 Munich. He was at Bielefeld, made a handful of appearances in the Bundesliga, five appearances, all as a substitute in the early stages of 2008, 2009. Then they had the winter break, and during that break he joined 1860 Munich, made his debut, in fact, in a German Cup game, and his teammates that day, among them Fabian Johnson and Greg Berhalter.
No kidding.
So he'll be known to to some American players, and certainly to now to some MLS coaches. So, you know, this is a quality player who's played, as I say, in one of the best leagues. And the German Bundesliga too is you know, that's not an easy league either. That is a top league. It'll take him a little time to find his feet, but this is a guy with some pedigree, certainly.
Well, let's hear from the man behind the deal, interim general manager Porig Smith.
We're thrilled to get Stefan in here. I think he's going to be an exciting player, you know, an attacking player who will bring quite a lot to the team and to the club. He is a traditional winger, but has the versatility to play as a second striker as well, and I think that will help. He's a creative player, has pace to separate in this league for sure, and I think he's proven over the course of his career, not least in the Bundesliga, one of the best leagues in the world, that he can both create chances and get goals himself. And I think his record in the Bundesliga, 25 goals and 25 assists, you know, and the quality of his play with Eintracht Frankfurt, really, you know, it was something that we looked at and thought, well, he can come over here and make a big difference here. And we're excited to get him on board. It will take time. You know, there's obviously an acclimatization period that we talk about all the time. And especially for players coming from Europe at this period in the year, they haven't played for their club teams in quite some time. They're coming into a very different environment, a new group of players, the changes in climate, the time zone differences, the travel. These are all things that Stefan will need to adjust to. But he's a real professional. And he's somebody that I think over the coming months, as he does adjust to the league, we'll really start to see the talent that he can bring. And hopefully a lot more attacking play for us as well.
You talk about a German player and one of the best leagues in the world. Is he, without kind of stereotyping, is he typically German? Is he organized, disciplined and technically sound?
Well, I think one of the best things that he's going to bring is leadership. I think 1860 Munich, which was his home club, you know, his first club, they brought him back to be a leader. And I think we saw that when he went on to captain the team on a number of occasions. He's very much an experienced pro who's going to come in, know what it takes to kind of manage the ups and downs of a season, knows what it takes to help young players along. And I think for some of our younger players who have signed contracts, that's going to be really important for us. The likes of Marlon Hairston, Dominic Baggi, you know, attacking-minded players that we believe have big and bright futures. I think he'll be a wonderful guide for them and a help for them over the coming years. He's German, there's no doubt about it. He is organized, he understands what his role is in the team, he understands how he can help make the team better, but most importantly is making sure that we provide him with the environment for him to flourish and for his talents to really shine through.
Does he change, or does his arrival change the dynamic, or does it allow you to do what kind of you've wanted to do in terms of being more attacking?
Yeah, obviously the addition of Stefan is part of a bigger plan, and this is a plan that won't be finished right now. I mean, it will go into the January transfer window as well, but I think he's another key component of what we're trying to do on the attacking side. With Gashi, you have a player who likes to come inside, likes to act almost as a number 10, can be very creative from that position. Stefan's more of a traditional winger. He's somebody who looks for the ball in behind. As I said, he has the pace to get in behind defenders. He gets to good spots on the byline and then delivers very, very strong balls. But one of the other things he does very well is timing his runs so that he is a goal threat himself. And as I said, I think 25 goals in the Bundesliga, 31 goals in Bundesliga 2 over the course of his career shows that he does have a goal-scoring threat there. So it's another big addition and another important piece of our plan.
Now, I imagine one of the bonuses, and we've seen new players that come in and they have to get up to speed with playing at altitude. With a number of the next few games being on the road, does that make things easier in terms of the turnaround time for when he may be ready to go?
Playing at altitude is obviously very different, in particular for the European players. They haven't experienced it at this level before or to this extent. But I think, again, he's such a professional. He's been around the game long enough at the very top levels that he can manage that. So I think, like any other player coming over, there will be a period of acclimatization. The away games probably do help. You know, he won't be playing at altitude, which is a positive. But we have to make sure that you know, we help him acclimatize. We help him get used to the group. We help him get used to the style of play that we want to put out there on the field. And I think he'll adjust over the coming weeks and months and prove to be the success that we believe he can be.
Now, of course, we know he's already been here. He's already visited. What were his impressions?
Well, there's no doubt that we think getting players over here to Colorado is a key piece of the recruitment plan. The state, the city of Denver, city of Commerce City, the facilities we have here, the climate. It's very attractive to European players. And I think once we get a player in the door here and get the opportunity to kind of pitch them our plan, what we're looking to do over the coming years, it's something that really resonates with them. Any small inkling or any small doubt that he had when he came over was quickly eradicated with the recruitment plan that we had in place for him. So he was hugely impressed with everything that was happening here at the club, the facilities, as I said, and the environment that he'd be coming over to. And I think he likes the mountains as well. So we took him up there as well, and that was something that he really enjoyed. So I think he and his family are looking forward to coming over now.
Porrick Smith, interim general manager. Explain that new role. Is it a new role? Is it certainly a new title?
Yeah, I think it is a new role. I think, you know, you have to look at what Tim Hinchey did. Obviously, he's left now to take up the new opportunity at US Swimming. And I think really what Wayne Brandt and I are looking to do is to step in and to try and continue the wonderful work that Tim did when he was guiding the ship over the last number of years. I think it's a testament to the work that Tim did that he had both Wayne and I very well prepared to kind of jump in and lead it now. He wanted to make sure that there was continuity there. So, you know, he was making sure that we were involved in everything on the sporting side, on the business side. And I think that's really up to us now to continue that good work and make sure we continue to try and ensure that we meet our goals.
So one is kind of the business and one is the soccer side. And how much my kind of collaboration is there between and the team that you've got around you? So in other words, has your role changed at all in terms of your responsibilities?
Well, it's a massive team effort, obviously. Nobody can do this on their own. That, again, was part of the wonderful work that Tim did, was having Wayne and I working so closely with him on everything that he was involved in. So there's no doubt the communication is more than daily. It's every hour, really, that Wayne and I are chatting to each other about the various aspects of what we're doing around the club. And communication is the key, making sure that we understand what our vision is, we understand what our goals are, and how we're going to go and achieve those.
There is the interim GM, Porrick Smith. We'll be right back.
The Colorado Rapids take on Vancouver Whitecaps FC on August 5th.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Bacci, and he stinks like a bee.
Head to the stadium early and enjoy a live pregame concert by local Denver band The Coteries, plus pregame drink specials at 1876, courtesy of the Bud Burgundy Concert Series.
Would you believe it?
Get your tickets today for a night of soccer and live music. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast. Richard Fleming, Connor McGehee with you. Dylan Gannon will be along shortly. News this week of a former favorite announcing his retirement from the game is Omar Cummings. Brought his 11-year career to an end, which began with the Rapids in 2007 and ended at FC Cincinnati in USL. The Jamaica International also played in MLS for Houston Dynamo, before time in the NASL with San Antonio Scorpions. He made 148 appearances for the Rapids from 2007 to 2012, during which time he scored 39 goals, a total only bettered by the man he formed a fearsome partnership with, Connor Casey. He took the decision to retire from the game to spend time with his family, while in a city where they need not move. But when asked for his career highlight, well, that was easy.
Winning the MLS 2010 with Colorado, but I think especially the locker room you know, the guys that I've played with, the special players, the special events, the All-Star game. I think the especially the locker room we had in Colorado was special, something special. I think, you know, this best environment, you know, everyone pushing each other, you know, guys were competitive but respectful, and everyone just had a great time, you know, every day coming into practice.
And I know, talking to the likes of Drew Moore, that year, that team, and nobody kind of gave them a chance, and they were blue collar, they were workmanlike, and you guys, you kind of played on the field, as you kind of alluded to there, how you were in the locker room. You were a close-knit bunch, and I think that really was kind of the telling factor, that you guys were a band of brothers into battle, as it were.
I definitely think that was the strength of our team. The locker room. I think the locker room absolutely was the strength of our team. And even Pablo said it at one point, you know, sometimes even going away, to play somewhere else, but to come back, you know, look forward to coming into practice. Look forward to what we were achieving. Look forward to the goals we were setting for ourselves. You know, the funnest, guys, just was even one reporter, you know, said that, you know, it's probably the best locker room he's ever come across, you know, and he's covered quite a bit of professional sports in the NFL, NBA, NHL, or whatever. But he's like, this locker room is like, everyone seems to really get along. Even Gary Smith, the coach at the time, said, you know, you guys probably get along a little bit too well. You know, sometimes, you know, you need a little bit of grit, you know, in practice. And we do have that. We do have that grit in practice, but I think the guys, we got along so much, you know, so well, in respect of, like, you have older players, younger players, you know, everyone kind of hung out, you know, had, you know, just had a great, great fun, you know, hanging out with each other and competing against each other every day in practice.
And people will remember the partnership you have with Connor Casey. Obviously, Connor's here with the Rapids and Pablo, head coach.
Right.
What was so special about that understanding that you have with Connor?
I think it was good for the fact that I was a younger player, you know, and coming into my own, kind of, you know, and kind of was that established guy. And we just, us working off each other, you know, every day in practice, in games, you know, hey, big guy, how you feeling, man? You know, you want to take it to him, or what are we doing today? You know, so we just had like that balance. And I think him holding up the balls in the middle of the field, me running off him and him challenging, making, you know, those challenges in the air, you know, you could definitely, you know, put a ball, sometimes even hope for a ball into the box, and Connor would get to it, you know, and fight for it. And then, you know, again, you know, our teammates would put like another hopeful ball down in on the flanks or in behind and say, hey, knowing that Omar more times than not would get onto that ball. So, you know, but we just worked on relationship. Like I was in the reserve league when Connor came in. We were playing in reserves, and we kind of built that relationship from the reserves coming into the starting role. So I think that was great.
And you'd left the club by the time that I arrived. I arrived in 2013, and yet still now the warmth with which you're remembered here by fans that were there, that fans that enjoyed that moment. Does that make you feel special? That I imagine you've got your memories from here, but the fact that you are remembered so fondly from Colorado.
The fans meant a great deal to me. I put my heart into it, you know, for me it was a special moment because, you know, this was my first professional club, you know, and I loved Colorado the instant we got there. You know, I think the relationships we found in Colorado, you know, the group of players that came in to Colorado, the rookies that year, you know, I thought were great, you know, guys that, you know, we still are connected today. Guys that came in, the older players, you know, and just that, again, that instant bond, you know. I remember arriving in Colorado, and within a week, you know, I was like, man, I could live here, you know. So Colorado is just a very nice place, you know, wonderful place to be. The stadium was brand new. So just coming into that environment, it was special, man. Sometimes you can't even put it into words, you know, and just like the growth. I think we were very lucky that year to actually, I felt like myself in particular, you know, MLS went from, I think, a squad of 25 and made it to a squad of 28 that year. So a lot more players were picked up that year. So I felt was fortunate in on my behalf. And the reserve league, I think the reserve league was great. You know, it developed you know, myself and a lot of players that were in that group. So we enjoyed playing, man. We enjoyed playing. We loved it. And it was one of the best times of my life.
When you look back on your time in Colorado and look back on your career as a whole, regrets? I mean, did you, when you started out, did you think this is what I want to set out to do? Did you exceed your expectations in the game? In other words, are you walking away knowing that Omar Cummings gave it a good shot?
At the time, if I had, I would have honestly probably would have loved to started and ended my career with Colorado. I guess I just kind of sorry for the way our team kind of came apart. You know, Gary Smith end up leaving. You know, guys that from that team, we had some injuries and new guys came in. And I guess you didn't quite have that same kind of locker room, as I felt like the locker room was kind of the fit, you know, the strength of our team. And somehow we kind of lost that, you know. I mean, again, Colorado is a special place in my heart, always will. And I guess that's my regret. Like, we weren't able to do that again, you know, to add more trophies, to have more success, and to keep that run going.
So what does the future hold? And as you hang up your boots as a player, you talk about spending some wonderful time with the precious family. Do you stay in the game? Do you look to take a step away and maybe to reassess the future for Omar Cummings?
No, I'll be working with FC Cincinnati, where it's kind of a new role that they look to implement. We're looking to get into the schools, rec leagues, especially for kids that can't really afford to really play the game. As you know, especially in the U.S., you know, this game is a kind of pay-to-play kind of. So we're looking to get into environments that kids can afford it, get into the schools, and I think that's a wonderful opportunity for myself to get into. So I'll definitely be working with the club, you know, along those lines and along other lines also. So in whatever ways I can to develop the game in Cincinnati and for the FC Cincinnati club.
And are we going to see you back here in Colorado? Are you going to come and visit us sometime soon?
I'd love to make it out to Colorado. I still, in fact, have my brother out in Colorado. He came out to visit. He loved it and decided to stay. So I still have my brother there, you know. So as soon as I can, man, I'll make it out.
And here's a chance, Omar, for you to just to say a few words to the fans. This will be heard on the Rapids podcast. So as a kind of final farewell, I imagine, as a player, what would you like to say to the Colorado Rapids fans?
Oh, man, I'd like to say, you know, I miss you guys. You know, I love you. I wish you all the best. I know you guys can do great things. So my heart goes out to you always. We bleed burgundy and hope for the best. You know, good luck.
There is Omar Cummings with Richard Fleming. And now,
more important dates to remember.
The Cardell Homes Community Spotlight, where we tell you of events and initiatives involving the club. The annual Colorado Rapids Charity Golf Classic will be held Monday, August 7th at the beautiful ridge at Castle Pines North. Enjoy an exciting day of golf with Colorado Rapids players, coaches, alumni, and even broadcasters. Proceeds benefit Kroenke Sports Charities community programs for children and families in Colorado. For more information, call 303-405-1166. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to ColoradoRapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids podcast. We switch directions and turn our focus to the Major League Soccer version of the Midsummer Classic as the MLS All-Stars get ready to face European Gigantes, Real Madrid, Wednesday night at Soldier Field in Chicago. To break down the match, we once again welcome Dylan Gannon to the program. Hello, Dylan.
Connor, thank you. Appreciate you as always. And actually, the MLB All-Star Game takes place in the first or second week of July each year. And since the MLS All-Star Game is in the first week of August, I like to call this the real Midsummer
Classic. The real Midsummer Classic. Where at MLB?
But that's beside the point. Of course, the Rapids have one of their own making their way to the Windy City, and Mr. Tim Howard We spoke with him to get his thoughts on earning his third call-up to the event.
Anytime you can become an All-Star, it's a special moment. I remember early in my career, playing well enough to make the All-Star game, it meant everything to me as a young professional. So even though I've gotten a lot older, it's still a very special moment, particularly when the fans who pay good money for a ticket are the ones who voted you in. I played with Michael Bradley and DeMarcus Beasley, and I played with those guys for years and years, so they're dear friends of mine. I admire Kaká, I admire David Villa. Basti Schweinsteiger, he and I share some mutual friends, so it'll be a good chance to catch up with those guys. It won't be easy, you know, they certainly picked a formidable opponent. We'll be up for it, we'll be ready. It's going to be super exciting for the fans, never really super exciting for a goalkeeper, but we'll try to make the best of it and have a good time.
There's the man himself as he prepares for Wednesday's big match. Now, there are some people who aren't necessarily in favor of the MLS All-Star Game, but I'm a big fan of it. It's different. It's unique. It's the only All-Star soccer game around the world, and most importantly, it gives the fans an opportunity to witness something that they may never see otherwise.
I'd agree with that. How often are you going to see some of the world's best and some of the best players of all time in your own backyard? I mean, granted, there will be no Cristiano Ronaldo and James Rodriguez as he's moved to Bayern Munich in a shocking move, but you still get to see the likes of Gareth Bale, Luka Modric, Sergio Ramos, and much more. Those are memories that you'll remember for the rest of your life if you're a fan.
Absolutely. Now, while it is a one-of-a-kind type deal in the soccer world, it's almost a necessity when it comes to the American sports landscape. The first All-Star game came in 1933, back when Major League Baseball decided to try out, and now it's just kind of stuck, and the rest of the other major sports leagues followed, and now that's something that the fans look to each year. Well, except for maybe the Pro Bowl, but, you know, that's for a separate version of Hot Takes on the Rapids podcast for another time.
You know, let's not talk about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Anyway, MLS held their first All-Star game during the league's inaugural year in 1996, when they were in that East versus West format for a couple years, before they switched to MLS USA versus MLS World setup for a year. That obviously didn't work out because they decided to switch it up right
away. NHL did a similar thing around the year 2000, 2001.
Yeah, and NHL, I mean, they've switched their format at least no fewer than 45 times. But, again, another hot take
for another
Rapids podcast. Yeah. But anyway, MLS switched back to the East versus West format for four of the next 6 years, and then they switched it up a little bit in 2 years in between there. They faced the U.S. Men's National Team and then Chivas Guadalajara for a bit. And then 2005 is when they started that stretch of when they wanted to face European clubs. And this Real Madrid team is actually going to be the first team from Spain to make the trip over to the U.S., so, I mean, that's good exposure. Now, while this is great to see some of the best teams of the world come to the U.S. and Canada, many of the stars are being left off of this MLS roster. Roman Alessandrini, you have Tim Melia, who has been the best MLS goalkeeper this year. Victor Vasquez, I mean, how does a guy with 10 assists not make the All-Star team? Christian Ramirez has had a great first year. Aiko Parra, I mean, granted, he's had a concussion, so he probably wouldn't be able to play. But still, is it time to switch back to East versus West?
Yeah, I mean, it's the debate that rages every single year. I mean, you get to see more worthy MLS players take the pitch, but that could ultimately affect the growth of MLS. I think it might be better for fans over in Europe to be able to watch their favorite team take on the All-Stars and get more exposure to the league, and then fans get the unique experience we're talking about, being able to tell their friends and family for years that they got to see Manchester United and Chelsea and Real Madrid play over here.
Yeah, and that actually brings me to my next point. I'm not a big fan of playing a league match on Saturday, having some of your guys go to the MLS All-Star Game on Wednesday, and then play another league match that following Saturday. I mean, that's just a lot. It's taxing on the bodies. It's taxing on the minds of the players that are already playing in a brutally long season. So my question for you, Connor, is would it make more sense for it to be an overall bye week for all the MLS clubs playing on a Saturday, and then maybe even play in the afternoon so, you know, fans over in Madrid can stay up and actually watch that game instead of, you know, waking up at 4 in the morning to watch an exhibition.
Sure, I think it'd make the most sense. I mean, it's a plus since you're giving your players more time to heal and recover, both the All-Stars and the guys on the roster as a whole, but that also means extending the season a little longer. At MLS Cup already being in December, you might be pushing the limits. I mean, we've had at the Rapids, we've seen all the breaks that we've had so far.
Right.
But I think a lot of the guys would say that they'd rather extend the season 1 week instead of having one more three-game stretch in 8 days.
Yeah, and obviously we don't speak for all the players, but I mean, I think you spoke with a lot of the guys. They would tend to agree with that. And the league has obviously discussed changes to this format, but we'll see if any of them come to fruition. And last but not least, we cannot forget about Courtney Ford, who is also making the trip to Illinois, where he's going to be playing in the MLS homegrown game. It's been an exciting year for Courtney during this rookie year, and this accolade is another proud moment for him.
It's a great honor, and it's great news. It's exciting. I'm grateful to be a homegrown here at the Colorado Rapids, and it's just an honor to be called in that 18. I think it's motivating, just that the fact that it's a homegrown program and it's a homegrown game. It's motivating for kids coming up through the MLS academies and through the system, so it's great for the soccer here in North America. But at the end of the day, it's another game that we have to go out and perform. Like I said, I'm grateful that I was called into the 18 roster. Now we just got to get there and we got to perform.
Now this is a unique opportunity for several young players in MLS to make their case against some of the best younger players in Liga MX. Courtney and the homegrown players will take the pitch on Tuesday, August 1st at 6 p.m., while Tim Howard and the MLS All-Stars will take the pitch on August 2nd at 6:30. We wish all of them the best, and hopefully we can see two clean sheets and two victories from our boys.
Dylan, nice job. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Connor.
On August the 2nd, the league's best players gather at Soldier Field, where they'll face Spanish super club Real Madrid in a cannot-miss historic event. Real were crowned champions of Europe in June for a 12th time. No other team comes close. 24 hours earlier, the best young stars in MLS take on defending Mexican U20 champions Chivas de Guadalajara at Toyota Park. For more information, go to MLSsoccer.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids Podcast is brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know about the great white north and those friendly Canadians?
Well, it's twofold, this part. It's a little bit about Toronto. It's a little bit about Orlando.
Okay.
Yes, Toronto's reaction to something that every team does,
including theirs,
was a little OTT, over the top.
Oh, I thought it stood for Ottawa, which is just right up the street.
It's a little over the top, and also to see the club's official social media channels engaging and kind of encouraging the backlash that was got then, but that was received.
Which I will say, Rapids had some fire responses back towards Toronto FC that were just Hall of Fame worthy. It
may have
well
been 1-1 on the field. I think it was 5-1 with regards to social media back and forth. And I don't think it's helpful. And I think what it does, it adds to this kind of that our team is whiter than white and only happens to other teams. And I think, you know, you take a step back. And I said in the aftermath, were the Rapids time wasting? Absolutely.
Would you?
Yes, I think they were. This was a side that was 0-7-0 on the road. They were 1-1 into stoppage time at a team that was expected to blow them away despite the fact that they were without Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore and Justin Morrow. This was a Rapid side that hadn't played in 18 days, so there was genuinely going to be some fatigue. And you and I, you know, we know the players. We know that they are generally an honest bunch, but at the same time, there will be an element of gamesmanship that will be thrown in. Every team does it. So I think the reaction that came out afterwards and Toronto fans on their social media and certainly infiltrating the Rapid social media as well was just a little bit hypocritical. The other side that I will say is Orlando. And, you know, we heard reports out of Orlando of fans arriving. I think there were some Atlanta fans that were that got into a bit of trouble from some Orlando fans.
Well, and I think that Atlanta had almost started that whole thing because Atlanta had bought the billboard in Orlando, said you're going to be united and conquered.
We're coming to
like
conquer.
This.
But this comes back to the two elements. And my bit here is the refreshing part of Major League Soccer for me is the fact that you have that rivalry, you have that competition, but it's healthy without...
It's not nasty.
It's not nasty. And I wouldn't want to see, as the league grows and the league develops, that the fans feel that they need to kind of take on this persona that they've seen elsewhere. Because I can say from somebody that's come from England, that is the side of the game that is poisonous and that is unsavory and is unwelcome. And coming over here and seeing the family-friendly environment with that passion, but a passion that doesn't spill over, and then a passion that doesn't kind of display elements of lack of respect, for want of a better phrase. So my parting shot, bit of a slap on the wrist of Toronto, their social media and their reaction to a performance from a team that I think if you take a step back and you realize that this was a desperate side on the road, and they're going to employ some tactics that happen every week, and we see it. Goalkeepers that fall on the ball and stay down.
Right.
Goalkeepers that take time in restarts. Players that kick a ball out of play and ask a ball boy to give them the give me the other ball,
right,
which somehow seems, you know, always seems to be a little bit further away. So there are tactics. Some of that is down to the referee. A lot of that is down to the referee to either
right
show
issue
a yellow
a
card,
caution or,
issue,
right,
issue cautions, and kind of move things along. So just accept that these are the tactics. And if the boot was on the other foot, you can guarantee that Toronto and the Toronto players will have been trying exactly the same thing. So let's not be a little too phased over this. And as I say, the other thing is, let's not go down that path of trying to replicate everything that comes out of Europe.
Right.
Because not everything that comes out of Europe is something that we would like to see in Major League Soccer. And we heard of Toronto fans last week banging on the walls of suites and of his executive boxes and of press boxes. Just try to show that element of passion, which is maybe spilling over, and it's the wrong kind. You want that fire, you want that intensity, but you don't want it when it becomes a little bit distasteful. And I think we saw some of that with Toronto and the aftermath of the performance from the Rapids.
And so to our final interview of the week, as we look towards the trip to San Jose this weekend, who better to hear from than former Goonie and Bash brother Alan Gordon. He was on Facebook Live this week, and Richard put these questions to him.
San Jose this weekend, a team you know very, very well, and it's always kind of puzzled me as to why these two sides kind of lock horns and grind it out. They cancel each other out, these two teams.
Yeah, I think you're looking at two blue-collar teams, to be fair. It's just kind of the tradition of both clubs, I think, to grind out results, you know, be tough to play against, get some warriors on their side. And that's how I know San Jose, and I felt the same way here in Colorado, is both teams are going to battle and do whatever it takes to win. And it usually, you know, gives you that clash.
They, of course, were here earlier in the season, a big win for the Rapids. You were heavily involved in that one. And I remember before that game, And I kind of made mention to you afterwards, is that during the introductions, the players are going across, you were, despite the fact that there's still a number of the players on that side that I imagine that you're friends with off the field, Chris Wondolowski being one of them, it was business as usual. There's no back sort of clapping on the back of the shoulder. It was shake hands, shake hands, shake hands. How do you kind of flick that switch?
I think a lot of guys are able to do it. You know, we do this a lot, and you know, especially in the MLS, it's a strange league where you know through trades and all these things, you know a lot of guys, and so it almost becomes, if you know somebody on the other side, you want to beat them a little bit more. And if you have any relationship or any you know, dealings with a club, or you've been there, you want to beat them that much more, just to prove a point that they let you go and you still have it, and you're going to punish them for it.
How much did that result in Toronto? How much belief has that given you guys going into this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's the first one's always the toughest to get. You know, we were unfortunate during the first half of the season on the road. We could have pulled out some points, maybe some wins. It didn't happen, but you know, we reset our focus in the half of the season here, and I think this is a really good result for us to go into a team that's top of the table in the East, and really give them a go. Even though they had two guys out, it doesn't matter. We got a good result, and I think that we can build on that and get some results here in the future.
Coverage this week on Altitude Television from 5:30. We'll be live at Avaya Stadium in San Jose, California on Altitude 950 from 6 o'clock, as well as La Invasora 87.7 FM in Spanish. As always, thanks for your company. First point on the road was earned in Toronto. So let's go looking for the first win of the season in San Jose. For Richard Fleming and Dylan Gannon, I'm Connor McGahee.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.